just greet you all in the wonderful name of Jesus again. And what a privilege to come to you on this media. And I trust you find yourself well today as you tune into this broadcast and this sermon. I trust that you will be uplifted and blessed. I just want to say to you today, before we actually get into the sermon, that we have asked that you would prepare yourself for communion. We're going to take a bit of communion after this, as we normally would do at the end of the month at church. So maybe you just want to pause for a moment and go and get your juice and your bread to prepare yourself at the end, because we're going to have communion. May God bless you. Come, let us just pray. Father, we thank you this morning that we can come together like this. I thank you for your church. I thank you for your faithful warriors, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing in people's lives. Thank you that you are the strength of our lives. Thank you that you're the one in whom we put our hope and trust, because it's only in Christ Jesus do we have our real true victory. And we thank you for it. Father, bless this word this morning. Give ears to hear what your Spirit is saying to us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we just want to say we miss you. We love you. It's such a privilege to be able to share the Word of God again. And we continue in the series of impacting life's disasters. Impacting life's disasters. My, how we need to impact life's disasters in this very day and age that we're living in. Today, I want to talk to you specifically about the power of praise. Let me say that again. The power of praise. Because it's through the power of praise that we impact life's disasters. Somebody once quoted and said this: the way to remove mountains is the way of praise. Because when you begin to praise, you remove the mountains. You know what? Your circumstances might not change imminently, but when you begin to praise, God lifts you above the mountain and you feel, Lord, I can impact these life's disasters as you begin to praise. You know, they say, well done is better than well said, because it's not only just what we hear, but it's what we do with what we hear. It's wonderful to sit and listen to sermons on YouTube or come to a church when we did and hear the word. But to have the word effective in our lives, we need to go in from information to application. And that's what I pray that this word will do in your lives. Our key scripture from the beginning was Daniel 11, verse 32 in the Amplified. And it says this: the people who know their God. The people who know their God. Not just, I believe in a God, or I believe in God or something. No, no. People who have been born again. People who have given their lives to Jesus. People who have a relationship with God. Those are the people who know their God. And here's the thing about these kind of people. He says, they shall prove themselves strong. And not only will they prove themselves strong, how they impact life's disasters through the power of praise, they shall also stand firm and do exploits for God. Exploits simply means bold and daring things. So over the last 3 weeks, we've been talking about you've got what it takes. Because of greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You've got what it takes to impact life's disasters. And after that, I spoke to you about getting the most out of your storms. And I can tell you, it is through the storms, when you've come through the storms and you get out to the other side, you won't be the same again. I can tell you, if you will impact life's disasters and you will get the most out of your storms. And then last week, we spoke about getting good seed into the ground. Because like I said last week, you are living out right now what you put into your life yesterday. If you put good seed in, you will get good seed out. You will get a good crop out, should I say. And as I said, as Paul said in Corinthians, if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully or generously. So that's what we need to be doing in our lives. Can I just encourage you with this today? And this is so important that you hear this. The greater the odds that are against you, the greater the storms, the greater the difficulty, the hardships, the difficulty, those anxious things that you're experiencing now. Listen, the greater it is, the more, listen, determined, say determined, you must be to overcome those situations in your life. You know what I've learned is we read a lot about little quotes and says, never give up, never give up. Winston Churchill's famous saying. But I've learned that Christians don't give up. What I've seen with Christians is they ease up. They ease up on their commitment. They ease up on their prayer life. They ease up on reading the Word of God, because life gets so difficult and the odds are so against them, and they're not determined to endure and be steadfast. And that's what the Word of God calls us to do. So I want to talk to us today about the power of praise to impact life's disasters. Now, there are many scriptures in the Bible that we could use. I mean, David, for example, throughout the Psalms, how he impacted life's disasters through praise. Most of the Psalms were songs of praise. And we can go and read them. I mean, Paul, Peter and them sitting in the prison and worshiping and praising God, and the prison opens up. But there's always wonderful messages of incredible worship and praise and how they impacted their life's disasters through the power of praise. But I don't think there's a more apt scripture right now, and that's the scripture of the prophet Habakkuk. Man, I want you to listen to this. Maybe you can identify with this today. Listen what he says here in Habakkuk 3, verse 17 through 19. Verse 17 starts off, he says, though the fig tree does not blossom. If there's no blossoms on the fig tree, there's going to be no figs. That is not a good thing. He says, and there's no fruit on the vines. Can you imagine the owner of vineyards sends his workers in, and there's luscious leaves and everything, and they come to pick the grapes, and there's no grapes on the vine. Can you imagine the disaster? He says, though the yield of the olives fails, there's no olives on the trees, and the fields produce no food. You've been planting seeds, but there's no crop that has come up. He says, though the flock is cut off from the fold, and there are no cattle in the stalls. Let me tell you, this is a life disaster that he's talking about over here. And many of us are going through one or other storm like this in our lives. Maybe not as intense as this, but this is really nuch. This is really difficult. This is really a terrible place to be. And he's making a statement. He's saying, though all of these things are so bad, listen to this turnaround in his attitude. Listen to this. From verse 18, he says, Yet I will choose to rejoice in the Lord, no matter what my difficulties, no matter what the disasters are. I will choose to rejoice in the Lord. And listen what he says. I will choose to shout with exultation in the victorious God of my salvation. Is that what you do? Is that what you're doing? He says, verse 19, the Lord God is my strength. I might have a difficult situation. It might be hard, but listen, the Lord is my strength. The Lord is my source of courage. The Lord is my invincible army. He made my feet steady. He made my feet sure, like a hind's feet. And listen what he does. He makes me walk forward, not backwards, not to sit still. He makes me walk forward with spiritual confidence. With what confidence? Spiritual confidence. Because you have the Holy Spirit living in you, your DNA, God's divine natural ability in you. He makes you walk forward with spiritual confidence on the high places of challenges and responsibility. God is for you. In general, this whole book of Habakkuk was about a complaining, murmuring, miserable situation. It's a bit like us. We're not happy with so much, and there's so much murmuring about the government, and there's so much murmuring about this and that, and we complain, and we're unhappy about so much stuff. Isn't that so much like us? But listen, he chooses to end off very positively, and I pray that for you in the name of Jesus, that you will end off positively after today's word. It is written, listen, into a praise song, this Habakkuk. It was written into a praise song with all the nonsense that was happening around him, with all the disasters that he proclaimed. But what does he do? He comes, and that's what we need to do. We need to learn from this. He fully affirms who his source of power, who his source of strength is, his source of ability. He looks at God. Let me tell you something. There's untapped power in praise. There's untapped power in praise. You may be thinking right now, Yana, he's going to tell me to praise again, because I'm not the kind of lifting my hands, praising, singing kind of person. So what is a lifestyle of praise? Let me just say this. That's where people mix it up. People think it's coming to church and we're going to do praise and worship. We sing a few songs and that is praise. And then we listen to a sermon. No. Listen to this. Praise is more than singing. It means you don't only have to be a singing type to have some other form of praise. Because if it depended on our voices, and the eloquence and the beauty of our voices, let me tell you something, to be strong, I'd be 103 kilogram weakling. I wouldn't even try and sing for you right now. Because, you see, what is a lifestyle of praise? What is it then? Now listen to this. The definition of praise, listen to this, church. It's an attitude of gratitude. I love the Afrikaans word, dis 'n gesindheid van dankbaarheid, or a houding van dankbaarheid. You see, some folks have like a houding. Well, you must have a houding of a dankbaarheid. That's what God wants. I love the Afrikaans word, houding. An attitude of gratitude. How do you express your praise? There's power in praise. There's power in, listen, an attitude of gratitude. In other words, how do you express it? Always being thankful. Always being joyful. Always thinking good stuff. Always speaking good stuff, what's coming out of your mouth. Always behaving good, like a Christian. Always keeping on praying. Because, I mean, Paul, when he wrote to the Thessalonians church, didn't he say that? 1 Thessalonians 5, from verse 16 through 19. Listen, what he starts off with saying, rejoice always. He didn't say rejoice sometimes. No. Rejoice always. Like Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. He says, rejoice always and delight in your faith. Delight in your faith. That's like an attitude of a gratitude. He says, be unceasing and persistent in prayer, because that's the key to be praying Christian, because that's where your power comes from. And then he says this in verse 18, in every situation, not for the difficulties, not for the disasters, but while you're in them, in every situation, no matter what the circumstances, please hear that. No matter what the circumstances, be thankful and continually give thanks to God. Why? Because this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. What is God's will for our lives? That we will live with an attitude of gratitude. And then he says, do not quench, subdue, or be unresponsive to the working and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit is calling us always to an attitude of gratitude. Praise is always an attitude of gratitude. You say to me, yeah, it's hard because of people around me and circumstances and situations, and these things make me feel negative and they make me feel down, and maybe you're feeling really unhappy right now. Let me just say that. It's not true. You make yourself feel that way. It is your choice. It's our choice. Don't blame your feelings on others. You're responsible for your own emotions. I wonder how many people and how many really realize that we're responsible for our own emotions. If you control your own emotions will control you. It's always a choice to have a positive attitude. I love the song, Proverb. Proverbs 15:15 says, when a man is gloomy, everything seems to go wrong. When a man is cheerful, everything seems to go right. How's that for a wonderful word? Proverbs 17:22 says, a happy heart, an attitude of gratitude heart, is like medicine, man. And it's a cheerful mind works healing. But a broken spirit makes you sick. So many sick Christians, sick in their heart, sick in their attitude, simply because they don't have an attitude of gratitude. Because there's power in praise, church. Remember, your inner attitude is made of your thoughts and your feelings. Oh, I'm not feeling well, and I'm unhappy about something. And so your feelings begin to dominate and your thought life starts becoming negative. We need to be careful. The truth is, if you're going to control your inner thoughts and your inner feelings, your control, your attitude. Hear this. Here's the key to a life of incredible praise. Listen to this. A positive attitude is the foundation of a life of praise. A positive attitude. You know, Jesus was such an example. Listen to us, and he gave us this example. In Philippians 2 verse 5 says, your attitude should be the kind that was shown to us by Jesus Christ. What must our attitude be? The same as Jesus. Did Jesus have an attitude of gratitude? You better believe it. Did he praise his Father? Yes, he did. The most important choice that you can make every day is the choice of your attitude. It's the option that you adopt for the day. You decide, today I'm going to have an attitude of gratitude, because there's power in praise. It will determine your attitude when you decide that. Please realize this. This is so important. Listen to me, church. It's not God. It's not your wife. It's not your husband. It's not your children. It's not your work. It's not the storms that you're confronting that's responsible for your attitude. You and I are responsible for the attitude we keep. Like any discipline, your attitude will not take care of itself. Listen, it's your and my responsibility to have a proper attitude, to work on our attitude, to adopt the right attitude. If you make sure your attitude is on track, you make sure your attitude's on track, and if it starts on the right track, it's more than likely it'll end up in the right destination every day. God loves a positive attitude. What is your attitude like? There's power in praise, an attitude of gratitude. What about you today? There's many key principles on the attitude, but your attitude towards life will determine life's attitude towards you. Remember the sowing and reaping principle. If you sow with an attitude of gratitude, let me tell you something, you will reap bountifully and generously in your life. Can I remind you again about this lovely little scripture in Proverbs 15:15 says this: when a man is gloomy, everything seems to go wrong. And when he's cheerful, everything seems to go right. Can we just not listen to that? Why be a lemon sucker? Why have a bad attitude when you can have a good one? Choose a good one over a bad one. Takes the same effort, doesn't it? Praise releases God's awesome presence and power into my problems every day when I choose to have a good attitude. When you get up each day and you rise up every morning, you say, good morning, Lord. Not like some people say, good Lord, it's morning again. What do you say when you get up? So the question is, how do I develop an attitude of gratitude? How do I develop a lifestyle of praise? Step number one, fill your heart with gratitude. You see, Colossians 2 verse 7 says, let your lives overflow with joy and thanksgiving for all he has done. Let your lives overflow with joy and thanksgiving for all he has done. What has God done for you? You know what? We can always look back and we can see how much God has brought us through and how he's blessed us and how he's cared for us. But I tell you, when we look forward into the future, we kind of feel, no, God can't do anything there. Listen, God will do everything for you, but he wants us to live with an attitude of gratitude. Always choose the right attitude. Did you hear that? Always choose, listen, the right attitude. How do you do that? By controlling your thoughts and your feelings. When your feelings begin to become negative, when your thoughts are negative, change it to begin to think positive. That's what Philippians 4:8 says. Think on these things, positive things. If your feelings will lie to you, believe the word of God. So the first thing is, what is your first step to develop a lifestyle of praise? Because there's power in praise. Listen, fill your heart with gratitude. Secondly, fill your mouth with praise. What comes out of you? You know, what is in the heart comes out of the mouth. Listen to me. Ephesians 5 verse 18 through 20 says this: do not be drunk with wine, but because that will ruin your life. You see, tomorrow the first, the booze is going to be available again. Maybe for somebody that needs to hear this, né? Don't get drunk on wine because it will ruin your life. Hoor net daai ene bietjie. He says, instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Get drunk on the Spirit of God. That's the drunk you want to get. How do we do it? Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs amongst ourselves. And making music to the Lord in our hearts. And listen to this. And give thanks for everything to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Fill your mouth with praise. Always choose appropriate, gepaste, upbuilding speech by guarding your lips, what comes out of your lips. That, and when you have a good attitude of gratitude, inevitably you're going to speak positively, will come out of your life. Only use your lips for singing. Use your lips to testify the bigness, the greatness and the awesomeness of God. To confess the goodness of God. Confess His blessing in your life. Use your lips to pray. Use your lips to encourage. Use your lips to bless somebody and encourage somebody. May God help us. Fill your heart with a heart of gratitude and fill your mouth with praise. And the last one, as we come to a close before we take communion now, step number three is fill your life with good deeds. Man, this is so important. We kind of don't associate praise and the power of praise with our good deeds. But Matthew 5 verse 16, Jesus speaking, He says, let your light shine before men. Why? That they may see your, here's the word, good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. Always choose appropriate actions by controlling your behavior. You see, when you have an attitude of gratitude and you've got a good attitude, then your behavior is controlled. You behave and you're a pleasant person to have around. So great to have a Christian with a good attitude of gratitude around you, a behavior that will bring honor to God, a behavior that shows that Jesus really lives. Let your life cause others to want to serve Jesus with regards to your deeds and your conduct and your actions and your behavior. This is so important because that also praises God. Your life praises God by your behavior. You know, there's a scripture in Revelation 19, verse 8, talks about our deeds. And listen to this. He's talking about the church of Jesus here. And in closing, he says, she has been permitted to dress in fine, radiant linen, dazzling in white. That's the cloak we wear. And then he says, for the fine linen is this. And listen, that linen we wear, the cloak we wear, the clothing we wear, listen to this, it represents the righteous, the upright, the just, the godly living, the deeds, the conduct, and the right standing with God of the saints, God's holy people. So if you want to live an attitude of gratitude, that is your conduct, that is your behavior, and that brings honor to God. That's what an attitude of gratitude is. The power in praise. Begin to impact life's disasters with the power of praise. I want to just close off here and read to you. In 1 Peter 2 verse 9, and it says, but you're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you might declare, listen to this, that you might declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness and into His wonderful light. What a promise. That is our calling, to declare His praises. Listen, do you want to move mountains? Begin to praise God. What is praise? It's an attitude of gratitude. And you'll find there's power, a wonder-working power, in the precious blood of the Lamb and in the praises of your lips to honor and glorify this awesome, incredible God that we serve. May God bless you. We're going to go straight into communion right now. And if you want to get ready as a family to sit together right now, and we're going to come to our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to read to you a scripture in closing, considering this word that I've brought this morning, the power of praise to impact life's disasters. Because of Jesus, we can impact life's disasters. And I just came across the scripture and I thought to myself, this is so relevant because, yeah, the heading in 1 Corinthians 10 is the warning from Israel's history. So we draw a warning from Israel's history. But listen to this. And verse 10. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 10, he says, and do not grumble as some of them did. and they were killed by the destroying angel. These things happened to them, to Israel, as an example, and were written down as warnings for us, for you and I, warnings to stop grumbling, to rather have an attitude of gratitude, on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. The fulfillment of ages has come. It's come on us. Jesus died and he rose and he sent the Holy Spirit. We're in the fulfillment of the end of the ages. It's talking to us. So if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. And then he goes straight into, and he links it to the communion, because he says in verse 16, is not the cup of thanksgiving, which we give thanks, a participation in the blood of Jesus? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? In other words, our victory is in our Lord Jesus Christ. So I want us to take this morning, as you're sitting there and you're listening to this, may we have communion together. May you have communion as a family. And we just give thanks. We remember what Jesus did. Because of Jesus, you're more than an overcomer. So let's take the bread, his body, that was broken for us. Let us take and eat right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for your precious work on the cross. I thank you for each family that takes this bread now, Lord, and we remember what you did for us. We thank you for the power and the victory and the peace and the joy that came from your death, which makes it possible that we can live with an attitude of gratitude. And in the same way, the night you took the cup, you said, this is the cup of the new covenant. And do it as often as you do to remember me. I thank you that we've overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. May the word of our testimony be in an attitude of gratitude. We've overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. Let us drink and remember the blood in the new covenant. Father, we thank you for this morning, for this time together. Thank you that you have given us this incredible weapon called praise. Just to have a good attitude of gratitude. I want to pray that for each and every one listening to me right now. That each one will have an attitude of gratitude. That we will work on our lives to praise and honor you in all things. In every circumstance, because it's the will of God in Christ Jesus for us. Bless your people, bless your church. Give us strength, Lord, to endure through this time. May we impact life's disasters with the powerful presence of the Holy Spirit in each one of our lives. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. God bless you. Look forward to seeing you soon. You need to get hold of us, go onto any of our media platforms. Our telephone number's there, our email addresses are there. And please communicate with us, like it, do whatever, but make contact with us. We love you and God bless you.